Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Say you fall and like slip a disc, you cannot work. Your claim will be sent to your works adjusters.
Okay.
That's why if you see up at work, there's a panel of physicians. People probably pass by this every day at work. It's got to be posted. If you're an employer with 3 or more employees, you have to have a panel of physicians posted up in your building. Everyone should take a minute to look at their panel because you want to see if there's like good doctors that your employers have hired. In case you get hurt, you want to know like there's good doctors on that panel, or whether it's like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons on there you're going to be going to, because you could only go to those physicians off the panel.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we're discussing the hazards of working in the service industry. Working in a restaurant can be a rewarding job, but it also comes with its fair share of hazards and challenges, both mental and physical. Today, we will discuss what those are and what you can do about it. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny Davila.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Before we start, if you do enjoy our show, just give us a like. And you could always leave us a comment. Follow me on Instagram at The Modern Waiter Podcast. And today we are welcoming back to the show Mr. John DiMiglio.
What's up, boys?
The last time that we were together, we were in your town.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kennesaw.
And your show was leveling up.
Yeah.
You were the first one to talk about moving from one restaurant to another, upgrading your skills, upgrading the restaurant that you are. And tell me about what's happening now since we last spoke.
Shortly after we had that podcast, I ended up leaving the restaurant business altogether.
Okay.
So my wife and I just kind of wanted me to be around the kids a little more. So that's it. You know, you just pivot, leveled up. I looked for another job. I ended up getting a job with this awesome company for a big law firm in Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
Dude, I got hired as a legal assistant.
Okay.
I've been here ever since. So I do workers' compensation now. Workers' compensation law. So mostly people who get injured at work.
So today we're going to talk about the hazards that can come along with working in our service industry. And we're going to cover front of the house, back of the house. And let's take a broad view of the things that would be, you know, listen, we work around wet floors. So you have, or not just wet floors. I think I could deal with a wet floor, but the greasy floor. That's where the slips and falls and things like that.
You're sliding. You're ice skating.
You are ice skating, and you're doing that penguin server walk, all the while carrying glass, hot items, things like that. So let's take it from, let's say, the back to the front.
Okay.
Obviously, in the kitchen, you're dealing with fire, hot oils, hot water.
Sharp objects.
We got sharps. So then you're susceptible for burns, scalds, things like that. Now coming out to, what are some of the things that you see from the front of the house, John?
Front of the house, I mean, it's slip and falls, glass breakage. And,
true. Cuts, you know, and bruises.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, too, is people think it doesn't have to be an injury, per se, like a slip and fall. You know, it could be, you know, a little while back you had mentioned in one of your shows, like changing it up, right? Like training yourself to use different arms when you're carrying your tray, so you're not always carrying your tray with your left arm. You know, one of the problems that I ran into in my career was I carried my trays with my left arm for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and I developed tennis elbow.
Right? Oh, wow.
And that was a repetitive motion mm-hmm. injury. Mm-hmm. So I never thought, like, oh, I can file a workers' compensation claim and take some time off and rest, because, you know, my doctor kept saying, like, well, you need to rest. And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, when I'm dead. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
We don't get that luxury.
You would think if you didn't work, you weren't going to get paid, right?
100%.
So it could be anything like that. It could be a repetitive motion injury. Mm-hmm. It could be people have had boxes fall on them in the walk-in and gotten injured like that. So you wouldn't even think that, but, you know, you're reaching for those big bags and, you know, things can fall on you.
Yeah, things are heavy, things are sharp. And when you mentioned the repetitive strain injuries, what comes to mind is bartenders. Bartenders, they're constantly leaning over the bar because they generally mm-hmm. have a cooler in between them and then the bar. So whether it's they're making drinks, another repetitive motion, lifting those heavy bottles that are off axis. You're not generally not pouring from the middle, are you? You're pouring from the neck. So moving yep. that way.
Shoulders,
mm-hmm. wrists.
Rotator cuffs.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah, because you're doing this, you're carrying boxes, you know?
Yes.
We've all probably worked in some restaurants where you have sketchy stairs you got to go up and down to get beer that's in some weird basement. The
Absolutely.
Stairs are dripping wet.
I mean, yeah.
Like I worked at one restaurant, you had to go up three floors to get 2 5-gallon buckets of ice and then bring them back down three floors.
Yes, that's
so one restaurant. The guy told me to do that, and I looked at him and I went, I quit, and walked out. Dude, I can't. My cutoff was like 33. I'm like, where do I need to get ice? Where's your walk-in?
Exactly.
So, yeah, and dude, I'm like, 4 weeks post-op? I had finally had my tennis elbow surgery here. They opened me up.
Oh, wow.
All that. I had a tendon torn and a muscle torn that I worked through for pretty much 3 years while I was waiting tables. So not knowing that I could have filed a workers' comp claim and gotten paid.
Okay. Mm. How long was your time out of work for that tennis elbow surgery?
When I had the surgery here, it was actually, I healed pretty quick. So I was back at work 17 days post-surgery.
Nice. Okay. That's not too bad at all. 3 weeks, roughly.
Yeah, about 3 weeks. A little that.
John, with what you do now, what is the statute of limitations for how long, like,
good
if
question.
You work in the restaurant, can you make a claim? Or, like, how does all that work?
It's a year.
Okay.
It's a year. It's a year from when you leave a job.
Okay.
So if I had left my last job mm-hmm. within a year, if I filed the claim, I could have brought the claim against my former employee. And then if you're injured, if it's like an injury, slip and fall, say, you have a year to file the claim. So, and you know, what's so good about being in the restaurant business, like, the thing is, if you file a workers' comp claim and you're getting money for this, right, and you're going to have a big settlement at the end, you mm-hmm. got to understand that you are suing your employer. So okay. a settlement at the end will mean that you
can't work there
anymore. Exactly.
So you mean to tell me I can't sue and then to be like, hey, can I get that cut? Yeah, you cut forever.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. So, but I mean, you know, I think that's the beautiful thing. I mean, unless you're committed to your job,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people in the restaurant business, you know, aren't. So mm-hmm. I think something like this is perfect for people in our industry because they're not a lot of people aren't committed, don't have long-term 10, 15-year careers with a lot of their places. So, you know.
Okay, so help me to understand this because it sounded like if I have an acute injury at work, like an accident. I have an accident
yeah.
at work. I'm in the beer cooler. you know, I slip, something happens, I'm out of work. My insurance is one thing, but then if I if I claim a, you're saying if I claim a workers' comp?
Yep, workers' comp.
And I win?
That's... Well, so yeah, so while you're, if you're injured.
Okay.
Okay. There's a couple of things that could happen. They could, if it's a, if you truly get hurt, okay, let's say if it's like on cameras, you're hurt, you really are hurt.
Yes.
You say you fall and like slip a disc, you cannot work. Your claim will be sent to the, your works in, adjusters.
Okay.
That's why if you see up at work, there's a panel of physicians. People probably pass by this every day at work. It's got to be posted. If you have, if you're an employer with three or more employees, you have to have a panel of physicians posted up in your building. Everyone should take a minute to look at their panel because you want to see if there's like good doctors that your employers have hired. In case you get hurt, you want to know like there's good doctors on that panel or whether it's like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons on there you're going to be going to because you could only go to those physicians off the panel.
Okay. Mm. Oh, interesting.
And then, yeah, so so you could start going to those physicians, all right? And then also you can get start getting paid what's called TTD. And those are payments to you based on the prior, if they take an average of your last 13 weeks of your salary,
okay,
average it out, divide it by 13, you know that, and then you get paid 66% of what your weight, what your income is. Right. So like, you know, when you think about it, it's almost getting like getting 100% of your pay because that's not taxed. So they're take, say you make $1,000 every week. That's your average before taxes. Well, now you're going to get 66% of that, mm-hmm. which is almost like getting, you know, taxes taken out of your thousand after taxes. It's about 66% anyway. So that'll kick in. And the thing is, though, it takes a while. It takes it'll take a couple weeks for it to kick in.
Okay.
And, right? So that's the thing. Don't think you're just going to get hurt and then all of a sudden start collecting, you know. It's because a lot of people think that sometimes you'll get hurt and they'll grant you medical, but then they'll deny your TDD payments. Yeah. Exactly. So it just depends on how good your attorney is, how many, a lot of these attorneys, they know each other, they know the adjusters, you know, whether you were actually hurt or not, whether it's on video, all that stuff. I'm not an attorney, so I don't know the specifics of all that stuff yet.
And none of this is legal advice.
And none of this is legal advice, but just my excellence, and I'm a freaking genius, so you know. but yeah, so that's kind of how it works.
And what does TTD?
One time I worked at a restaurant, and this dude like tried to fight me, right? And he ran after me, and I went like this to push him away.
Mm-hmm.
And he clamped down and bit my finger. Okay?
Okay.
Bit it so hard, I had to go to the emergency room. And I couldn't work because I couldn't use my hands. And I had an attorney, this was back in Connecticut, who was like a friend of mine. And he was like, oh, let's file a workers' comp claim. And we filed a workers' comp claim against that injury. And I got a little bit of a settlement. And this was years and years ago. But everything has a percentage rating. So everything, all your injuries are like, your finger is worth a percentage, you know, and that's all.
Okay.
Okay. So you mentioned medical and TTD, is it?
Yeah, TTD.
What does TTD stand for?
Now, if you get both of those and you don't sue, you can keep your job, is what he's saying.
Right.
So you basically would be suing for settlement.
Yes.
Yes. If you sue for settlement, that's when you're going to have to do it. But some people,
that's when it becomes a conflict of interest.
Some people will work through it. Like they'll be getting, you could be on a, you could get, it just depends on, so when you get hurt, you'll go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor will say either you can't work or you can do a light duty work status or, right? So some people will do a light duty work status. So like they could be at work. And originally your job was to wait tables, okay? And so now you're stuck being a hostess because they say you could do light duty work status.
Exactly.
Well, as a hostess, I'm not making as much as I made as a server. So now you can get a partial payment. And so your payment would be like to supplement what you're not working as a server. So there's also, you know, so there's different ways, like when you get injured, it can roll when you file a claim, and depending on how badly you're injured, mm-hmm. right? So it just depends on what that original doctor says, like whether you're, some people though, but you know, it's tough. Like some people get injured really bad and then they go to a terrible doctor off the panel who's in bed with the employer and they only give them a light duty work status when they really can't work.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, and then you can't go back to work because you're injured. So that's why you hire an attorney, basically, to, you know, tell them I can't go back to work. They're trying to make me go back and, you know, I'm going to lose my job. They're going to fire me because they're saying I need to go back and I can't go back. I have mm-hmm. three slipped discs. They're telling me my discs are not slipped. So that's kind of when it gets a little tricky and you want to hire an attorney.
Now, we talked a little bit about some of the direct hazards. And the repetitive strain injuries, that's just one part of it. Then restaurants have things like exposure to contaminants, whether they're mm-hmm. flinging, you know, cleaning chemicals around, disinfectant chemicals, they can get into your dude. Eye.
You just like, remember that Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah.
That had a chemical spill?
No, I don't know that story.
Dude. This like Buffalo Wild Wings had a chemical spill and someone spilled a bunch of chemicals and like, you heard about that?
No.
Oh no, it was bad. I mean, yeah, there was some long-term injuries from that one. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about, we have workers' comp claims that are $300,000 claims, people mm-hmm. that get injured at work. So, yeah. You know, somebody spills a bunch of chemicals on you.
And when you read those warning labels, you see that, you know, exposure, yeah. inhalation, things like that. Now, there's some other ones that probably we're going to move away from, like that direct injury, workers' comp type of things, mm-hmm. and go into things like stress and mental stress.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Because the restaurant is not just a high-paced environment, it can be a toxic environment because you have a lot of different personalities. And you're dealing with your coworkers, you're dealing with ownership and management, then you're dealing with guests who all have different expectations mm-hmm. and different modalities, which can be very stressful. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know any program that will allow me to go, let's just say if I'm stressed out or it's given me, you know, emotional trauma, to go see, you know, see someone.
Mental stress?
Yeah.
We shift drinks?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's the only thing I know.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, to be honest, I mean, you know, medical health is probably one of the biggest gaps in our medical, you know,
in our like industry.
Industry, you know, yeah. of the country. So, you know, before I got, you know, this 9-to-5, I was using the Obamacare, and I think Obamacare is great. It always covered my mental health. So people who are in the restaurant business can find those plans on that and reach out to that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a lot of 4-7-8 breathing during my shifts.
Oh, what is the 4-7-8 breathing?
Oh, you just breathe in 4, hold 7, breathe out 8, and it'll lower your heart rate. And that's gotten me through a lot of stressful shifts.
Oh, that's the "I'm about to kill somebody" breathing.
Yeah. Are you talking as far as whether workers' comp covers mental health stuff?
No, just moving away from workers' comp.
Yeah.
If you had any ideas of how you used to deal with that. For me, it's working out.
I was just about to say, for me, it's working out. You know, it's just moving and really just time management. You got to find time. I would always just find time to have downtime and get out there and be able to still surf and do fun stuff with your whatevers. I mean, a lot of people just, like I've heard, I think on one of your last podcasts, they were working 36 days straight, you know, and we do that in the restaurant business, you know, but you got to really take your time, take your days off and or plan around whether it be, you know, the greatest thing about this industry to take a week off whenever you want and take those weeks off. You know, and really find your downtime. Because otherwise,
you get all burnt out. Absolutely.
You get burnt out. I mean, dude, I could do those 13 days in a row and brag about it and great. But by the 12th day, it's just affecting your tables. There's no way you're not going up to that table. And
like, I hate you.
There's no way, even if you're Marlon, you walk up to that table on the 12th day and they ask you for tea. You
and out. Too soon. My threshold really is 5 days. And I could feel it on that fifth day. I set up my schedule for a certain way, but I'm just not the person to do doubles or consecutive days. I need that rest just so that I can be more mentally refreshed and bring that baseline of inertia down. It can be tough. I mean, also we deal with certain level of verbal abuse. You know, there's not much physical abuse, but that the physical abuse is the abuse that we put on our bodies, as far as, you know, being on our feet the whole time. We're on our feet, not a lot of food. If you're eating, you're going to be eating standing up. If you're going to be taking a break, you just went into the walk-in and just sat there and
screamed.
You
just cooled off for a minute or two. Yeah. That was your break.
That was your break, and then you're right back down. Because ideally, you can take a break, but you're not making any money, and you're not home. So why bother? You just say, hey, let me just keep it moving. And so I find that, for me, physical fitness is one of those ways for me to move past a lot of those limitations, whether it's the physical abuse or the mental stress. It just, what do you do in the moment, Danny? Like when things are kind of hectic. Yeah. When things get rough,
like you said, I'll walk into the walk-in and just take it in for a second, maybe scream, you know, or whatever needs to be done. You know, I mean, I've walked outside before and just walked away from the restaurant. Sometimes I usually do walk or lap around the building.
Yeah.
Like outside, just to digest, you know, whatever's going on in your mind or whatever you're dealing with at the moment.
We had Phil on one of our holiday food drafts. He used to bring a separate shirt and keep it in the freezer. And then, like, that was almost like his Superman change. He'll come in, and then he'll take off his old shirt, put on a new chilled shirt, and that was his way of prepping.
That's
for
genius.
It.
Genius.
You know? So another thing that we were just in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I could not. A lot of the bartenders there, they work a lot around loud and loud music.
Mm-hmm.
So they wore the foam earpieces in.
Yeah.
So that's the way that they had to deal with the noise pollution as a hazard to the job that we do. And had you ever worked in a club that was pretty noisy? Because when I worked in places like that, I could hear the at night.
The ringing?
Yeah. The ringing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have. I worked many days. I used to work, I don't know if we have any of our New Haven listeners, but I used to work for a radio station. I was a sales rep for a radio station. So I was in clubs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I had club nights where I was, you know.
What haven't you done?
Boobs and kissing babies, you know, what all that stuff.
All the above.
I think my ears are still ringing from those nights.
They probably are, because I swear when it's dead silence, I hear that.
Yeah. I never wore the earmuffs, though, but I want to wear them now, mostly when I listen to my kids.
Well, that's a different job hazard, my friend. That's not, there's no amount of workman's comp that's going to bail you out of that one.
I know.
We did it to ourselves.
For real.
There's also not so much anymore because a lot of places have gone away from indoor smoking. But those of you that work in a casino, dealing with secondhand smoke is really a challenge, because when I was coming into restaurants, we had a smoking section and a non-smoking section, and it didn't really matter because there was it wasn't encased in glass. Yeah. It was just like right here, this arbitrary line.
Yeah, those were the good old days when the diners had smoking sections in the back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, yes. Is that a viable claim?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I knew my bartender back at 500 Blake Street back in the day. He got cancer from, he was a bartender. Oh. He never smoked a day in his life, but he bartended for years like us, where people were just blowing smoke right at him. I mean, people are facing you blowing smoke at you. You know, so, I mean, that's a viable claim big time.
So let's close out the show by giving our best suggestions for combating the hazards that we outlined earlier. Whether it's the repetitive motion, I mean, that's hard to get away from when you're a bartender. Are there any exercises that you know of that really alleviate or mitigate that?
I think you just have to always be switching it up. I mean, you got to be training yourself to use different arms. If you're going to be long hauling it like us in this business, you really got to, I mean, it's really easy to use that left hand every time.
True.
But it's just as easy to keep working at it and training yourself to use it. And it doesn't have to be, you're doing it every day, all day, like with the right arm, if you're using your left, you know. But like every now and then you gotta switch it up, you know. Just like if you're going to the gym, you want to build your weak side of your body a little more than your other side. So and it's all brain stuff. And like once you train your brain to use that other side, you'll eventually pick it up and it'll be like natural to you.
True.
You know, if you're carrying a tray like this every day with this, you're putting wear and tear on your shoulder, your elbow, and you know, just train at home, train like this every now and then, you know, train like this every now and then. So it really does make a big difference. It grows your muscles better. It grows that part of your brain better.
True.
You're forming new brain cells. You're forming new muscles. It just helps you all around.
And it does help balance you out. Because before I learned to switch, I do it when I notice that I'm a little lopsided and crooked. I'll switch to my, and you don't have to carry every single tray with your opposite hand. You carry the light ones. You carry the ones with two beers. Yep. And then you go, worse than carrying it, I think the toughest part to learn to do that is actually the dismount. The dismount to me is harder than the actual carrying.
Yeah.
That's where your balance is required, not to spill the rest of your tray onto the people who are near you.
And yeah, so you just like, you got to work at it. Like, do it when it's slow. Do it when you have a single person at the table. Do it when your friends are at the table, so you know you can look awkward in front of your friends. When your friends are, you know, bring it up to your managers. Ask to have like a training night where you guys practice before a shift and we using your other arms.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. You know, it's only going to make everybody better and happier and more fun, and it's something to do. It's you know.
I agree. And maybe you're not a big gym person, but I think staying active is important because it is a physical job and it does require balance. It does require some grace. So do whatever it is that gets you into that mood, whether you do yoga or you stretch or you work out or you, you know, you surf, skateboard, all of that. You really have to supplement that activity with some mobility exercises and have some strength, because you mentioned carrying a tray, but to carry the tray on your palm, it's pretty stressful on the forearm and the elbow and the rest of your body. It's a little bit more difficult to carry with your fingertips, but your wrists remain in a neutral position where it alleviates that pressure that you would get in the heel of your palm and the stress in your forearms when you're like this. But not everybody has that strength. It's easier after you've trained that. You could do, you know, push-up holds on your fingertips and things like that. But once you get to do any amount of that, it's really hard to go back. And it's easier than it looks because the pressure gets spread out amongst your hand. And I noticed when you made your motion of carrying the tray, you used a palm. Have you ever tried the fingertips?
I used to love fingertipping it.
Okay.
Because it just looks so classy when you're doing that with the fingertips. Now, I don't understand how people do it with glasses, trays. Like, I've seen servers do it like this with fingertips with just drink trays.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys amaze me. That, I think, is a talent. But yeah, when you do the big tray with your fingertips, it does. It feels better. It's not that hard. It just takes practice, and it does alleviate all that. And it looks amazing, you know. And we've talked before, you know, about the show. I mean, this is a show we're doing. We're on stage every night. So, you know, when you're walking around with that, using your fingertips, you feel great. You know, it looks great. You feel great. People see it, and your tables see it. And, you know, and you talk about leveling up. I mean, that's one way to level up right there.
Without a doubt. Now, taking the rest is, you know, that's a little challenging, you know, to rest in the middle of your shift. Like, you really have to power through. But sometimes, especially on a double, and I don't have that much time in between, I know if I could just sit and stop moving for 10 minutes, I could get a lot out of that 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Just put your feet up on another chair and just kind of decompress. It really does help. Do you like go to your car, or what was your in between routine?
What was your go to?
Yeah, what was your go to?
I used to love getting my folds done for the night, because I don't know if you remember before COVID hit and like kind of around there, I was doing three doubles a week. So I had a sweet shift. I would do a double, take a day off, do a double, take a day off, double, right? Like that. So I was getting my 36 hours in, and then I would, you know, if I did Monday, Wednesday, Friday doubles, then I would pick up a Saturday if I wanted. And that's a stellar week.
I remember that. I remember you telling us that. Yeah.
Dude, so I used to do, but I'm like, even here at my job here, it's hard for me to take breaks, because I'm like I get an hour long lunch break. And I don't even barely take it. You know, I try to take like just 5 minute mental breaks here and there. But like, because I feel like if I stop, I don't want to start again.
True.
But what I would do though on my break is I would do all my folds and all my, like, any side work I could do for my night shift. If I could do that in between after the lunch shift, that's what my break would be. Sitting down, doing my 50 folds in between, making my phone calls, you know, kind of, if you can't eat, but at least you're sitting down and resting.
Absolutely. True. Yeah. Just not doing something is huge.
Right.
Without a doubt. I'm gonna let you go on this one. What's your advice to anyone that is feeling either physically destroyed from the job, or mentally, or what's your advice to anybody that's?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Like, I was really surprised about, like, I really miss, one of the best things I miss about serving is that you're on your feet and on your feet all day, right? Like, so taking 20,000 steps a day, I miss that, walking around, because now I'm at a desk and I, you know, I try to work standing up most of the day, but you do find yourself sitting down. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I find myself stiffening up at this age, and I miss being on my feet every day. So I really feel like I was in better shape when I was doing those 25,000 steps a day. So
absolutely.
I think if, yeah, I mean, so honestly, I think if you're finding yourself like worn out from that, you know, I think it's just maybe stretching is a big part of it. It's got to be the worst thing. You hate, everyone hates stretching, but it's amazing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Walking is probably one of the best things you could do. So doing some walking outside in the sunshine will do wonders for your mental health and for your body. I really think that in this profession, it can actually keep you young, just being on your feet all the time and moving around, because mm-hmm. it's probably one of the best things you could do is movement, you know? So just kind of, I think, you know, going back to staying mentally healthy and active on the weekends is probably the best thing you could do.
All right, man. Thank you so much for joining us again. We'll get you on for your third. But
three-peat?
Yeah, for the three-peat, but...
All right. Then I'm going for a five-time jacket.
Okay. We'll get him a Letterman's.
No doubt. If we've missed anything that you've experienced in this work hazard, or tell your story, reach out to me in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on the audio podcast, you could email me. I'm themodernwaiter@gmail.com. Or follow me on Instagram @TheModernWaiterPodcast. We do this for you each and every week. I'm Marlon Joseph, The Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe, 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 people.
We will see you next week.
Later. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's a listener right there.
John the Don. He's back. We rolling, rolling, home in our stop. We going, going straight to the top. We knowing, knowing what we